The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its taste, it is good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and place it under a bushel basket. They set it on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Let me take a few moments to look at this gospel reading, which comes from a section in the book of Matthew, which you will see under the title, The Sermon on the Mount. It takes up three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, in the book of Matthew. Now, Matthew's gospel, distinct from the others, is a Jewish gospel. It was written for Jewish converts to the Christian way, and therefore it has all sorts of references to reinforce its Hebrew tradition and its Hebrew identity. And those that first listened to this word heard what we may have missed, and that is Jesus goes up on the mountain. They're remembering that Moses, way back in the books of Exodus, he went up on the mountain and he got the law, the Mosaic law, the commandments. Now Jesus goes on the mountain. He is the new Moses. And these are new commandments. This is a new covenant. It's not rigid. It's not legalistic. It's an invitation to a way of life. And he begins by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn." He goes through that. The second thing that's interesting about it is Jesus sits down. When he went up the mountain, he sat down, because the rabbi always sat. And when Matthew says Jesus sits down, he really wants you to listen now, because Jesus is now becoming the teacher. This is the origin of the chair of Peter, you know, the teaching chair of the Pope. Cathedral comes from a Latin word meaning chair, cathedra, meaning chair. Or we have, at places of higher learning, the chair of medicine or the chair of philosophy. All comes from this reference that the teacher always sits when the teacher is teaching. The rabbi, Jesus, does that. Take a look at the text which we have today. You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Let me look at that, see how this fits into our lives. I'm going to suggest that we take a second look at the voices of our culture. The voices of our culture that speak to us very loud and in many ways shape our culture. Our voices said, work hard, work long, work more, be successful. The God of choice in our culture is a God of success. Be successful, be powerful, be important, socially important. These are all the voices. And when you carry this, you know, you get too far, you get people working 80 hours a week. When they're 55, they'll get a gold watch and a triple bypass. That's what I tell them. The Pope Pius XII, I read when I was young, that he would only get 4 hours of sleep a night. Well, if you did that today, they'd send you for counseling. It doesn't make any sense to make this the meaning of your life, that success, honors, achieving things is the meaning of your life. If that becomes the meaning of a culture, and if that becomes the meaning of a lifestyle, It has grave consequences for relationships and for a physical, emotional, and spiritual wellness. But that's the mantra. And therefore it challenges us. Be different. Be better. You're not good enough. Even in personal relationships, this thinking, this aura of being the best and being the ultimate drives us to say, am I good enough in my relationship? Am I attractive enough? Am I successful enough? And we find this certain drive inside of our culture that being socially important is the mortgage of the day. I mean, we'll do all sorts of extraordinary things to get recognition in our society. We'll wear masks that make us appear to be important while the person behind the mask is struggling with, am I good enough? Am I thin enough? Am I too fat? Am I successful enough? This is an energy that seemed to take over a big piece of our culture. Why wonder then that the little people, the people in the margins, the poor, the struggling people, don't have the recognition that others have in our culture? Listen to that first reading today from Isaiah the prophet. Clothe the naked, give shelter to those who are homeless. When you do this, your wound will be healed. We have a wound. We have a division. The wound will be healed. But if we live in a culture of success, we have a Super Bowl today. Is it more or less a sport or a business? What's important here? Is it the sport or is it the business? It becomes a very interesting discussion about what we're looking at and who we admire and who influences us in our lives. How important is each individual person? I mean, we draw lines, we draw boundaries, even in the church. We have boundaries in the church. You don't qualify. You don't fit. You're not the right identity. You don't have the right sexual orientation. You have too many marriages. Whatever it is, we have these boundaries that somehow define the measures, the presence, and the exclusiveness or inclusiveness of a community or a country or a culture. I want to suggest a different model. And this is the way I would like to shape it. Stories, we remember stories. This happened 24 years ago. And this young lady, her name is Laurie, that's her real name. I knew her since she was a baby, she was growing up. And 24 years ago, she lived in Newport Beach. And she's a California girl, beautiful, suntan, all the things about the California girl. And to my utter surprise, she told me that she shares an apartment with two other young women, and they have a Bible class. They have a Bible meeting every Wednesday night in their apartment. I said, oh my God, I can't believe this. Because as a teenager, she had no time for the church. But I said, geez, praise God. So she's meeting every Wednesday night for a little Bible study in her apartment with her two girlfriends. But now she's at that age where young women, sometimes when they're 24, begin to get nervous about meeting the ideal man. So she called me and said, I am praying for a nice Catholic man, but I'm meeting low life. I'm meeting all sorts of crazy people. So Laurie came up and I took her out to lunch and we talked about we're praying, Laurie. You're praying, I'm praying that you meet a fabulous, nice Catholic man. So we're praying away and we're praying. And a month later, she called me and said, I don't see the nice Catholic man. I said, come on up, Laurie. I took her out to lunch. This happened a few times. And then after a few times, I said, Laurie, why don't we just pray for a good man? He doesn't have to be Catholic. I mean, let's kind of throw the net out a little bigger. So we're now praying for a good man. He's Catholic, we'll figure that out later. So a little while passed, and she called me about this time of the year. She was skiing over in Vail, Colorado, and she met George. And George was fabulous. And I could tell the phone was on fire. I mean, when she called me, she has so much energy. She's got to come to see me like now. like immediately, something really important. Oh, I knew she was in love. So she came up, I took her out to lunch, and she's just all excited, radiant, just on fire, fantastic, world is beautiful, God is in the heavens, God bless me, all this wonderful thing, you know. Why is she so excited? It's not because she's in love, that's part of it, but she was chosen. She was loved. Every one of us needs to be chosen. Somebody said, you're unique, you're special. There's something really extraordinary about you. I've met many other people, but you're special. We all need to be chosen somewhere. I don't care if it's chosen by a spouse or chosen by a partner, or we need to be chosen by a soul friend. But we all need the experience of being chosen, being accepted for who we are. I don't have to merit this. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to prove myself. I'm chosen for who I am. In my humanity, somebody lifted me up and said, you're unique, you're special. That's what it means to be chosen. And when you look at this gospel here, you find out Jesus chose the 12. Now, they're all mixed up, but they're really very imperfect 12. I mean, they're jealous of one another. They're ambitious. You read there in Luke chapter 10, you'll say, Peter says, we've been following you and give up everything. What are we going to get back? He was trading. I mean, this wasn't a real follower of Jesus Christ. This was a guy who was looking for something special. You know the way you do a novena? And you say, I'm only doing this novena because I want to win the lotto. I mean, it's not that I'm holy. I'm not here to pray. I'm here to get something. Well, the apostles were like that. A lot of people come to the church looking for something. And if they don't get it, they say, I'll go somewhere else. Hey, you're not giving a gift. You're trying to trade. You're trading with God. Well, the apostles were like that. And in a time of crisis, they'll all disappear. So they're very broken, human, normal people. And Jesus looks at them. They're just like us. They're folks. We're just folks. You know, there's nothing. I mean, we have a few angels and a few really saints out there somewhere, but the rest of us, we're just folks. And he picks people who are kind of normal. And he says to them, you are the light of the world. Me? You? Yes, you're the light of the world. You're God's chosen ones. You're blessed. You are the salt of the earth. Anybody ever look in your eye recently and say, by the way, I haven't told you recently, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. I mean, how beautiful. I'm chosen. When your little child went to kindergarten or preschool first, when they come home, the first question you ask is, did you make a friend? They said, I have no friends, nobody likes me. Oops, I got to go talk with the teacher about this. Because we all need to be chosen somehow. You know, some years ago, there was a Jesuit priest teaching at the University of Chicago, and he wrote a number of books, Should I Ever Say Forever? Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? Books like that. And in one of his books, he had this story about this couple that were having difficulties in their marriage. And they came to see this holy priest. He was a psychologist. And he said, okay, Mary, what seems to be the problem? And she said, he's a neatnik. He drives me nuts. Because when he comes home in the evening after work, he says, what have you been doing all day? And why isn't this here? And why isn't that there? And he said, it drives me crazy. Now, if he'd only tell me he loved me, I'd be motivated. I'd be energized to do all these things. But he never. So he said, John, what do you think about that? And he said, Father, it's like this. When we got married, I told her I loved her. And I told her, if I ever change my mind, I'd let her know. And so you're wondering, I mean, what's going on here, you see? So how do we, whenever did you hear the church telling you? Seriously, did you ever hear the church telling you, you're good, you're God's people, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world? The church must tell you that. That's what the Word of God says today. And it says to folks like us, I want to hear the voice of God telling me, I am the salt of the earth and I am the light of the world. That makes my day. So listen to the word of God. And by the way, make this day holy. That when you go away from here, look at somebody in your life. Look, I have been more inspired in my life, not by the rich and famous. They didn't inspire me. I'm inspired by people who are simple, ordinary, genuine, sincere, honorable people. Wow, they're the ones that really bless me in my life. They're not the big success story. That doesn't impress me. What impresses me are real, real people, down-to-earth people, honest people who are human. Now, you meet these people. You are these people. So look at somebody when you leave here and say, you know, I haven't told you recently. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Because that's what God tells us. And I want to tell you, people of Holy Family today, certainly in my life, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Amen.